There are many titles we attribute to you and use to address each other in our daily lives. For me, it's Reverend, Doctor, and Mrs. For you, it might be Esquire, Officer, Captain, or Judge. With these titles, we often put the emphasis more on the prefix than on our names. I'm proud of being a Reverend Dr. Cynthia Mapstone, and it shows in a few words just how hard I've worked to reach a level of distinction academically and professionally. But I also try not to allow the titles to be the only things that define me. We live in a society that often designates our importance by the titles we hold. Often when we are able to put a prefix in front of our name or a list of letters after our name on our work badge or after our signature in a professional publication, we feel good about ourselves. It's a sense of healthy pride. But let me ask you if you would have that same healthy pride if someone were to put the title Saint in front of your name. Would you denounce them saying, "Oh no, I'm far from being a saint," believing that saints are only those who have been venerated by the church? For me, my title would be Saint Cynthia. And hearing myself called that even from my own mouth sounds completely foreign, not to mention highly unlikely. Because even though I take pride in being a minister, I still fall short of being saintly or having that level of holiness. Think about it for a minute and try it. In your mind, take your proper name and put the prefix saint in front of it. Weird, right? But today, on the day that is known throughout the Christian church as All Saints Day, we'll hear the Apostle Paul referring to all those who believe in Christ as saints. Not just the highly spiritual or those who live a pious life, but the everyday, ordinary people, just like you and me, who believe in Jesus as Lord. Paul believes us to be saints. So let's listen now to the words we find in Philippians 1:1-6. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayers with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And this is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, help us to hear what you have for us today. Help us to understand that we are your people, and help us to live out the ministry that you've given us as good stewards of all your blessings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a little girl, I absolutely loved this time of year. Now, maybe you're thinking my affection for the later part of October and early November had to do with Halloween or perhaps the anticipation of Thanksgiving. But both of those guesses would be wrong. You see, I never really cared too much for trick-or-treating. As a kid, I was more fascinated by my surroundings. And for me, my early life revolved around the church that our family attended and the parochial school where I spent most of my waking hours. We were not what you would call just Sunday morning Christians. It seemed like whenever there was something going on at our parish on the north side of Syracuse, we were there. In early November, there were two extremely exciting things that happened at Our Lady of Pompeii. The first memory was an iconic spaghetti dinner served from noon to night on Election Day. I can remember my parents and I spending countless days, even weeks before the event, in a little basement kitchen of the school helping roll meatballs and simmer sauce. There was an endless opening of cans, frying of meatballs, and even tossing of salad, which took place in a sparkling, clean, brand new plastic garbage can. My job was to wrap the utensils inside the paper napkins. It seemed like we almost lived at that church during that time period prior to the event. When I wasn't in school and my parents weren't at work, we were almost always at the church preparing for the Election Day spaghetti supper. And to this day, if I close my eyes, I can still smell the tomato sauce and see that little cafeteria filled with people, talking and eating and smoozing with the local politicians who came to have lunch with their constituents. During that busy time, there was only one thing that interrupted the preparation and this second reason I love the time of year, this time of year, and that was All Saints Day. On All Saints Day, which is always celebrated on November 1st, I would find myself attending several church services, at least twice, if not three times in one day. And you might think that is going to church three times in one day, it was going overboard, but I actually loved it. I craved the holiness of it, of all the prayers and the incense burning and the candles being lit. And All Saints Day never disappointed. Not only were there the normal trappings of the service, but added to it was the ornate decorations. It seemed that every candle surrounding the statues of the saints were lit, and flowers were placed in front of each life-size figure, and carefully woven flower crowns were placed upon the heads of the statues. To say that the church was breathtaking would be an understatement. On All Saints Day, I couldn't wait until I was old enough to be confirmed so that I could choose the name of one of the saints to add to my own name. This namesake saint would become my own patron saint of sorts, who I was expected to pray to have intercede before God for me so my prayers would be heard. Now, I'm not going to go into a discourse about how my theology has changed over the years, which includes believing that we can go directly to God with our prayers without the need for a saint to intercede for us. But I will say that there were many years where I began to question what it meant to be a saint. Were the saints only those who did miraculous things and were venerated by the church? Or were the saints the people who spent countless hours frying up meatballs, tossing salad, cooking pasta, and showing children like me what it meant to live out the gospel? If we look back to the scripture we read earlier, we see an epistle or a letter which Paul was writing, famous for writing. Paul constantly wrote to the different churches he had established during his missionary journeys. Often these letters were written as corrective text in response to a crisis that a particular church was facing internally, or to overcome a threat which they were facing from the culture around them. But the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi was different, in that Paul wrote to them from a prison cell in Rome, not to correct anything, but to encourage the people and express to them his love and appreciation. I find it uplifting that the love and appreciation Paul had for the church in Philippi isn't just written to the leaders. It was for the overseers and the bishops and the deacons, but more so it was for everyone. Everyone who was involved in it. Rather, Paul wrote to each and every believer. And the words that he used to describe might be unfamiliar or uncommon to our ears. He refers to each and every one of the people in the church as saints. In essence, the letter to the Philippians, which some would call the most joy-filled book in the Bible, is a reminder to people of who they are in Christ. It's an encouragement to help them through the times of suffering, to encourage them to live joyfully in every circumstance. Likewise, for us today, is more than a letter or of an antiquated book. It serves as a reminder to us that we are to live out our faith every day so that we look different than the world around us. For to live as a saint doesn't mean we are venerated when we are dead and gone, but rather to live well while we are alive. We are to share our time, our talents, our resources with one another as we seek to grow in our relationship to God through Christ. What a wonderful reminder, especially today as we struggle with the coronavirus and face a turbulent election in just a few days. It seems like everything we have held as certain is spinning out of control, and yet we are reminded that this is not the way it will always be. Paul reminds us that Jesus' death shows that God can take even the darkest moment in history and work them out for good. We are reminded to be positive and practical, focusing on having Christ fill every aspect of our lives, our minds, our goals, and using the strength given to us by Christ to have joy even in times of suffering. We are reminded to build each other up, to rejoice, to pray for one another, to remember that God will use all circumstances for good. Sometimes we look at the condition of our world, the Christian church, even our lives that are ravaged by COVID, social and economic unrest, and we worry and hope that this isn't the end of the story. And for God's people, the saints on earth, it's not. God is still at work. He's not finished yet. We are encouraged to partner with each other in spreading the good news through the word, through our words and deeds, to be a gathering of saints who support one another in love and service, to take the blessings that we have been bestowed on us and to share them with others, not hoard them for our sole personal use, and to remember that all Christ followers are saints, not because we are holy, incapable in our own power, but because God has empowered us through his Holy Spirit and made us righteous through his Son. I don't know if you have ever sat and thought about what heaven looks like, but I would venture to guess that in heaven, there are people of all races and ethnicities who have lived ordinary lives as they followed Christ on earth. These saints in heaven will never be venerated to an elite status by the church because of the miracles they've performed in their name. They are the everyday men and women who, after believing in God and coming into a deeper relationship with him through Christ, sought to make their world a better place by sharing who they were in Christ and what Christ did for them. If that is the case, then being a saint includes us too. And we partner together in the gospel as we act as good stewards over the things that God has put in our care, as we seek out ways to walk out our faith as we reach out to others. And as saints on earth, we must seek ways to bring people from different backgrounds together. According to Acts 16, the church in Philippi would have been quite diverse. There were people like Lydia, a wealthy woman of high status who was a dealer of purple cloth, and the jailer and his family who had been from much lower of a status, the slave girl who Paul cast out demons from, and there were Gentiles who formerly worshiped pagan gods and Gentiles who were God-fearing. The church in Philippi was what Christ intended, a group of people from a diversity of backgrounds who all came together to live out their faith. Maybe you still can't quite comprehend the word saint in front of your name, but Scripture tells us boldly that we are all saints in Christ Jesus. A saint is not some super spiritual Christian assigned some supernatural task. The Bible says that all believers are saints, having all been set apart for Christ in his gospel. There are no super Christians or nominal Christians. We are all saints in Christ Jesus. Ministers, church leaders, lay people, all together serving Christ as his servants. No one ranks higher than someone else, for all of us are fellow servants of Christ Jesus. And that is why Paul doesn't just address the leaders or just the laity, he dresses all of them together. Because leaders and ladies are partner in ministry together, that's why the concept of stewardship of this church is so important. None of us can be the church, maintaining the church, or growing the church all by ourselves. We all need each other. God began the good work in each of us when we accepted Christ. He gives us each to the other as the body of Christ to have a multitude of gifts and talents which we are to use to worship and honor him. And just like Paul wrote, every mention of each other's name should bring forth a prayer of thanksgiving. Do you thank God for each other in our church? Are you filled with joy at the remembrance of each other? Years ago when I was a senior pastor at the other church I served before coming here to DCC, I started a practice that I still continue to this day. When the sanctuary is quiet during the week, I come in and stand in the back. Here at DCC, I stand up in the choir loft and look down at the pews below. In my mind's eye, I imagine all of you sitting in your pew, or at least in the area around where you normally sit. And for about 30 or 40 minutes, I pray for each of you and all of you, allowing your faces to come to my mind as I pray before God. I can't even put into words how exciting it has been to start to see you all face to face rather than see you over Zoom or only being able to speak with you over the phone. I have finally been able to live out the same excitement over the saints at DCC that Paul wrote about as he remembered the saints in Philippi. We are all in a partnership. We have all been made new creations in Christ, both individually, but we are also connected together as co-laborers in God's kingdom. Therefore, we are called to do what God has equipped us and pre-planned for us to do, works of love, grace, and mercy for one another. And as we do our part, God is completing what he has begun in us and completing what he has begun in the church. Embrace your role as a saint, because everyone who accepts Christ as Lord has been set apart and made holy through the perfect righteousness of Christ that God has placed on us because of what Christ has done. Embrace your role as a saint. Make a determined and disciplined effort to allow the Spirit of God to set you apart day by day for as long as you live on this earth. Don't back away from the distinction of being a saint because you live under the assumption that someone who is a saint lives as much better and higher spiritual level than you do. Saints don't have to be venerated as superhuman, exhibiting unsurpassing devotion to Christ. As fallible humans, we all fall short. We most probably won't be canonized or lifted up as a spiritual model. No lighting of candles before a statue of us or offering of incense while others meditate upon the virtues of our lives. But we are set apart and being sanctified because we know Christ. We are those who have been separated from sin unto God for his holy purposes. We do not just believe in Christ, but in our union with Christ, we are bonded to him. We have received imputed righteousness, and we have been given the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. Now, after you leave here, I hope you'll be able to happily give the right answer if someone were to ask you if you were a saint. You should know what to say. Yes, I'm a saint. Called by Christ, saved by Christ, having the mind of Christ, to serve the way Christ served, and to become more like Christ with each passing day. That's the message. We are all saints, not yet all we should be, but moving to become like the ones who called us saints. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you that you have come to us and that you have made us known, that you have made yourself known to us, and that we are known to one another. Help us as good stewards of all the grace and mercy that you've given us and all the talents you've bestowed on us to be people who emulate you, who reflect your glory, who are saints in this world, working together to bring your kingdom to come. And help us to change the world one day at a time. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.